What's up, guys? This is Uriah Faber, the California Kid, here with Greg Conley, serial entrepreneur, founder of Trifecta Nutrition. We're talking about everything under the sun, fitness, entertainment, and of course, business, making that money. That's kind of what we're about. Jay. Poor Jay came in. Jay is down earth. You said you were going to work out with Jay?
Yeah, I was going to work out with him at 24 Hour Fitness.
Have you ever met him
before? Is he big? I've never met him.
He's not tall, but he's big. That's for sure. He was at 260 at one point or something like that.
Oh, he got up to 310.
Oh, yeah. 310.
5'9".
Wow.
Yeah. So he's
that's massive.
Right now he's a slim 235 at probably like 6% body fat. So.
No way. Forty. How old is he?
44.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's impressive.
Yeah, he looks great for 44.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I was
nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, big fan. Nice. He gave us the whole backstory and everything, so we'll have to get into some of that.
Yeah, we'll get Sage's backstory also.
Hear the Sage backstory.
Cool.
Apparently there's some alligator wrangling.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay, you ready, Jason?
Yeah, we're good. We're live, so.
What's up, guys? We're back to the CaliCast, and I'm alongside my boy, Greg Conley, founder of Trifecta, entrepreneur, amongst all sorts of other cool stuff. And today we have a special guest, Super Sage Northcutt.
Thanks, Mr. Faber.
Yeah. He happens to also be my neighbor two houses down out here in Sacramento and getting ready for another big fight, per usual. The guy's always gearing towards greatness, and we're excited about that. So let's get right into it. I want to kind of, remind everyone what this podcast is all about. It's about athleticism. It's about nutrition and health. It's also about business and branding and everything in between, entertainment, which we're going to hear more about Sage's background in some of his entertainment world on top of being a top-level athlete and see how he's dealing with building the brand, et cetera. But anyways, how you been, Greg? What's been up?
Good, good. I mean, barely survived the several days in Vegas with your ass, but
yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, we had fantastic time. UFC really knows how to treat us, planning the big partnership expansion with the UFC for 2018, which is always fun. And then got to go to the fight, watch some fantastic fights and hang out. And we indulged in a few occasional cocktails.
Yeah, it was fun. We also, we went to the UFC training center. Have you been to the training center yet?
I have. It's
place
amazing.
Is incredible. And I mean, I've got my new facility, which is pretty top notch, all the wood finishes and everything, but that blows it out of the water. It gives us some goals, things to look forward to. Something to strive for, and actually had a discussion about them doing a similar facility out in China. So, hoping to be able to put some influence on that. We're talking ground level of getting a Chinese Team Alpha Male going.
Oh, which, that'd be cool.
Yeah, which would be cool. Come out to China.
Yes.
All right.
I was up in Shanghai like 2 months ago.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So that was
Didn't
cool.
Didn't you wrestle some big?
I did.
A bodybuilder or something?
That was crazy.
His
name was Blessing. I forgot his last name, but he's like a national caliber bodybuilder. He's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So huge.
As far as a bodybuilder goes, he's weighing. I mean, there's divisions for that. Is he a heavyweight?
I think so. I think he's like. I have a picture of it, but I think he's probably like 250 or 260.
Oh,
solid
wow.
muscle.
And he said he wrestled. Dude. He wanted to wrestle with you.
Yeah, he did.
How'd
he
that
did.
Go?
Oh, that was cool. We had some fun.
Yeah. This guy, he's so humble. He doesn't want to say what really happened.
He murdered
Sage
him.
Snatched the dude up and picked him up over his head from what I heard. Is that similar to kind of what happened?
Took him down.
Nice. Yeah. He probably had the size advantage. You had the skill advantage. So it was
Thanks.
Probably, relatively
I've been
fight.
Getting to know
yeah.
Sage. So he's very, very humble. After he beat me in pool, I think it was. I'm like, man, you beat me fair and square.
You were
like,
taking
oh, no.
it easy.
Well, you did a good. You did good too, Mr. Faber.
Never nice was, way. Nice way to let your ego down. I like it.
That's awesome. You did pretty good too, Mr. Faber. Well, thank you. But yeah, so he was showing me a picture of the guy, and the guy wanted to wrestle around with him, and he ended up picking him up. Snatching him over his shoulder,
nice.
260-pound dude.
Was this for like an expo before a fight or something like that? Or what,
yeah,
what
it was.
Brought this together?
It was a FIBO expo. Mm-hmm. So that was actually in Shanghai. First I flew into Beijing, and then from Beijing went to Shanghai. But mm-hmm. the expo was super cool.
What'd you think? What'd you think of China in general?
It was so many people. And like the food was super good. There's so many different kinds of food, different styles. It was pretty fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I was shocked too. I mean, I've been to a lot of places in Japan. I've been there like 5 or 6 times. And the food's okay in Japan, but for me, China, The food was really
phenomenal. Yeah.
I mean, just being there in Shanghai in the big city, they had a lot of health conscious places, and I was expecting, like, you know, something maybe outside the box, and it was pretty standard to what I'm used to, so I was pumped.
You know what's cool too?
What?
Everybody was so in shape also.
Yeah?
Like from riding bikes and stuff, everybody rides bicycles around, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't much really obesity, like the American obesity that you see.
That's what we're fighting.
Yeah, we're fighting. Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. So that's funny. Bring that up. You traveled to Shanghai, and that was nothing to do with the UFC. That was with your sponsor.
Right.
That's Labrata.
Labrata Nutrition.
And you've been with this. This is an interesting story to me because, you know, I forget how young Sage is. He's only 21 years old and accomplished so much. But you can look back and see pictures of Sage when he's a tiny little guy looking exactly the same. Same abs, same haircut, same smile, same stance and everything.
He's like seven.
And yeah, you were on the cover of what, Karate Magazine?
Yes, sir. Karate Magazine.
Yeah, how old were you then?
I think I was either 9 years old, okay. I think.
Wow.
I think I was the youngest in history.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so then, and then he's had a relationship with Labrada, his current sponsor, seen him all the way through the UFC ever since he was a little guy. Mm-hmm. So he's got pictures of him having Labrada when he's, you know, 9 years old, 10 years old, and it's cool to see the way they stuck with you and have been part of your journey.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
And your dad used to be a bodybuilder as well, right?
A little bit, yes, sir.
He looked pretty stacked.
He was like a national caliber power lifter.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice, so, powerlifting. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you traveled to China. Growing up, from what I talked to with your dad, Mark, he said you used to go all the time on your own. He'd send you kids all over the world to compete. Is that exactly? So what was that like growing up as an athlete, and how'd you mix it with school and everything else?
It was pretty neat. I've always made straight A's. So even in elementary school, junior high, high school, at a 4.0 average, I went to go study petroleum engineering inside college, Texas A&M, number one school in the nation for petroleum engineering.
Oh, yeah, I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, so they're awesome. But ever since I was a little kid, like starting off elementary and junior high, I would miss, I think, about 50 days of school a year.
Oh, wow.
So it was like just to compete, yes, sir. And then obviously when I got to high school and then college, it was a little bit less. And then now I was fighting for the UFC, so
yeah, and
haven't used my coach.
Yeah, you took a step back, right, from the school to...
Yes.
I mean, there's a time where you say, okay, look, a lot of times people are encouraging, hey, go get your degree, etc. Sage was getting his degree, and it became an issue of like, look, what's the best usage of my time? I have an opportunity to have a real career here. And I think you made a smart decision. You can always go back and get that degree if you want to. And
Thank you.
Time is right now to go after that strap, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree, especially with your help.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. No, I mean, when the opportunity's there, whether it's, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, you know, Sage Northcutt, it's you got to capitalize on it because it's, I mean, especially starting at that young of age, that's something that I talk to a lot of our interns about and you know, new hires is making sure that they're capitalizing right out of college or if, you know, while they're in college or before college or whatever it is, you know, because you only live once. You might as well get started young, you know.
It's obvious, yeah. So when you're starting to compete, was it your parents going with you all the time, or were there times when they would actually just send you off and you would have to travel and navigate with your sister and your brother to go on your own? Is that kind of
yes,
the case?
Yes, sir.
So there how were early times. Did you start that?
I think I flew by myself the first time, even without my sister, when I was like 7 years old.
Wow.
Maybe 7 or 8.
That's then, wild.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of scary. Was it scary or no?
Not too scary, I guess, because I started when I was about 4 and a half. Uh-huh. So then 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, just I guess went by pretty fast, and then became like almost like natural. You're getting used to like training a lot and competing and traveling. So
can you imagine that being sent off? I mean, put that in perspective from a fear standpoint. A lot of adults have a fear of physical confrontation. It's public speaking and physical confrontation are like two of the scariest things on the planet for people as individuals. And this guy's been fighting people since he was 4, 5, 6 years old. And then on top of that, traveling by himself to go fight people from that age, that's kind of a crazy thing to think about. You know, facing those type of fears and just becoming like familiar with stuff is pretty wild. You know, I think you know, it's not only a rarity, but take somebody who's very unique. If you say, hey, look, the lessons that I learned as a little kid, moving on to go compete with other people. I mean, do you have anything that you took away with it that's like serve you now in the adult life?
For sure. I think discipline.
Yeah.
Being able to have the drive, like making a goal. Like, I've always been goal oriented. So I said, hey, I'm going to be the youngest person to be on the Sport Karate magazine, which we were just talking about. I was the youngest person to do that. I said, me and my sister, we both said, we're going to win the most world titles and no one's going to beat us. So winning one of the most world titles, I think we hit 40 world titles by the time.
Wow.
I said before I turned an adult, but I actually stopped when I was doing the karate when I was about 15 or 16 years old. Huh. To start focusing now on, obviously, high school, but starting to translate into MMA now.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know what my background was, not as disciplined at all. I mean, I was basically hanging out with my parents. My dad would drop us off at near a pond when he'd go work construction, and we'd like fish all day, and then he'd like pick us up. And that's cool to see that type
doing
of structure.
Magazine covers, yeah.
Yeah. What was your adolescence like, Greg?
It was probably a little bit more towards yours. I did get into like business type stuff pretty early on, so I was always like super entrepreneurial. Whether it was, you know, selling baseball cards or, you know, doing stuff in Boy Scouts or whatever it was, I was always trying to find an angle to, you know, to make money or help people out, you know, even at a young age. But there was a good amount of being at the pond fishing.
Yeah.
As well.
That's awesome. Man, yeah. Fishing's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good time.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to make sure we don't miss it. We got to hear the story about
fishing for
gators, apparently, in Texas.
Man, they're everywhere.
Yeah, so you got to tell us.
Right before we got on here, Sage was talking about how him and his brother used to catch alligators.
We would.
And then, you know, we started delving a little bit deeper, and then he's talking about the pond, the big lake he used to jump in, and showed us this man-eating alligator.
Oh, it was huge. So big.
That was caught in there.
25 feet, yeah.
You know what? Next time, I'm going to find some pictures, because I have pictures of me and my brother holding them. And
really?
Yeah, nice. Out by the pool. Like, we put them on like a little floaty in the pool.
Yeah, maybe get those. Maybe we can splice that into some of the footage here. I'd like to see.
I got
to
show y'all.
Nice. So, your parents were encouraging this, or what was going on?
No, not encouraging it, but like
they let it happen.
I was always a big fisher. I never go out and fish like in the ocean or anything. But like around me, we have tons of lakes, tons of ponds, like swamps. And I know people would go out there and like blast alligators and stuff because there's so many of them. But I would always go out there and catch them and try to like reel them in with my friends or my brother. And when they get up next to the dock or close to the edge, we lean over, like one person would have the hook like sunk in.
Yeah.
The other person would lean over with a net and net it, and the other person would try to like grab its head immediately. And we bring him up to like on the dock, and they're trying to roll, so we're like hopping on it, trying to get the hook out.
Holy
That doesn't sound dangerous at all.
How old are you when this is going on the first time?
I think since I was like 12.
Man, he's kind of a hillbilly, this guy.
You know, it's a miracle that he survived to 21.
Yeah.
So we got to give people the background. So this was outside of Houston, you were saying?
Right. Yeah. Outside of Houston. I grew up in Sugar Land, Texas, but ended up actually growing up most of my life in Katy, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So Katy, Texas, like Cinco Ranch area, everywhere, like anywhere around Katy or Houston area, there's tons of alligators, every lake, every pond. It's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. Yeah.
So, is that a big city or a little town that you're in, Katy?
I believe actually it's pretty big. I think it was the fastest growing city in the nation for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how it is now, but it's a pretty big city.
Is that common thing out in Texas? Like you just like the kids go out and wrangle crocodiles or?
I guess me and my friends.
That was part of his fight training. Now he knows how to handle like fighters trying to get away. They're rolling everything.
You know what's crazy? It's the ones you have to watch out for are like the 4-foot, 5-foot alligators. But anything above that, they get slower.
Oh,
so like
really?
If you have like a 6 or 7 foot alligator, you can grab them by the tail and they're really, really slow reaching back. If you get like a 10-foot one, they're really slow. But like the little ones, they're fast. They can run at you and they're really aggressive.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. Next time I go alligator catching, I'll remember that. Go after the big one. It's kind of like some of the fight games. There's a guy, what's his name? Hobson Mora. He's a super tough jiu-jitsu player. And I remember, you know, he was a little bit smaller than I was, and I didn't know that he was like a 7-time world champion. And I went to go do a random roll with him at one of these UFC events. And I'm thinking, what the heck? He kept catching me and stuff. And I later found out he was a world champ, and that I shouldn't be ashamed of myself for getting submitted and whatnot. And then you go with a bigger guy, and it's the same kind of thing. I can get away from him and jump around his back and tap the bear kind of situation. It's all relative to what you're looking for: speed, strength. I mean, it mixes up. In the alligator world, attack the big alligator.
Definitely.
I like it. Well, maybe that's why Sage dominated the 260-pound guy. So
hey,
so effectively, he's huge.
Thanks.
Yeah. So
that's funny. So as far as the trifecta stuff goes, I know that Sage is a big proponent of good health. Has that always been a focus for you growing up? I mean, I see the pictures of you ripped out and looking basically the same as a 9 and 10 year old. Was this something that your father and your mom were all about when you were growing up, or is it just
definitely
genetics?
No, I mean, there's a small part is genetics.
Yeah.
But definitely eating healthy, eating right. I mean, you can have the best genetics, but if you let yourself go and you're not watching your nutrition or your diet or maybe your supplements, then your body's not going to be, no matter how good genetics are, you're going to be out of shape, or you can be
right,
not be able to be like an athlete or whatever it might be.
So do you remember having to say no to sweets and stuff like that, or did your parents let you splurge a little growing up?
No, I would eat M&Ms a little bit.
Yeah.
I would. But every day since I was 5 years old, I started off doing like 100 push-ups and sit-ups. Then by the time I was like 5 or 6, it was like 250 every day. Then it ended up being like 500. Some days I would do like 750 or 1,000 just for fun.
Wow.
Because I wasn't really working out with weights then, so I would just blast the push-up sit-ups, like the back of my dad's car back then. I'd get in the back and do sit-ups in the back on the way to tournaments.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Greg?
Yeah. Well,
did you do any of those sit-ups?
Yeah, it was like 20, 50,000. It's pretty much the same thing.
That's
no,
awesome.
My parents like had me eat healthy, but it sounds like you've been meal prepping for years now. And is that kind of something that they got you into, or you just developed
Absolutely.
That being in fitness?
They got me into it. My parents are, I guess, very healthy the way they eat. And then my dad was an athlete, so I guess it kind of translated. He wanted me, my sister, my brother to be athletes too, so eating right for sure. Just not only that, like if you're an athlete or not an athlete, just eating right for your body to stay healthy. That's important. I mean, you want to feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look good. I mean, everybody
definitely
wants the added benefit that comes
right
with it.
My parents were like strange with like good health and stuff. Like we had like, you did not want to get sick in my household. It was like the bad news. You're having to eat raw for 2 weeks and you have to drink garlic juice and beet juice and raw apple cider, honey vinegar, water, and oh man, it was a trip. So we were like, kind of eating special foods like royal jelly, which is like a byproduct of bees from the honey, but just tastes like crap. And I mean, if you were sick around my family, you wanted to keep your mouth shut and fake it, wasn't trying to stay home from school or anything. Oh, excuse me. But I think the mix of eating right as a nutrition standpoint and just general health versus actually like bodybuilding and weight is so much different. I remember my mom telling me about wheatgrass juice and having me eat a bunch of stuff in preparation for a wrestling tournament, and it just didn't make sense now that I know about calories, like the functions of food, etc. It was healthy food for sure, like if you're trying to like fight sickness, but as far as like being a prime athlete, it just wasn't making sense. So I've learned a lot through the process and understanding what my body needs, what other people's body needs. It's just everybody's different.
Yeah,
it's kind of a trip.
Absolutely. And with food, I mean, there's stuff that is like a healthy food, but you have to like know certain quantities to eat it, like avocados. Like if you eat nothing but avocados, obviously you're not going to end up with the exact physique you want, but I wouldn't say avocados aren't like a healthy fat, type thing. So it's there's a lot of education that I think your parents probably gave you, and you too, in terms of like eating whole natural foods and that type of stuff that most people just don't get grown up on McDonald's and Taco Bell and stuff like that. So
were you able to eat any fast food growing up?
Occasionally you would, but not,
it wasn't
not
like
very much.
A no, huh?
I don't think it wasn't like, oh, you can't have that, but I don't think I ever really wanted to.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when you're eating, when your body feels good, I mean, you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you just get, create healthy habits.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I was the same way. Even when I got fast food, I'd always get like water and stuff like that instead of soda. It was just like natural instinct for sure. So
Greg, like you said, this is your fifth business that you've been doing, and I mean, obviously learned a lot about branding and building brands and marketing and all that kind of stuff. I feel like Sage, especially for being 21 years old, and I've talked with your dad a lot as well, like you're pretty aware of things that fit you, like the things that you represent, and even for movie deals. You know, I mean, Sage gets, you know, calls for entertainment stuff all over the place, and it's like, is this a fit for me? Is this not a fit for me? Right. How conscious of you of your brand are you, and where did that start? Was that some guidance from your parents or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. There's some guidance from my parents for sure. I guess knowing who you are.
Yeah.
What's okay with you and what's not. So like, if was I gonna go do, I guess a movie where they're chopping people up, killing them, and throwing them in the back of a dumpster or something,
yeah.
and then like saying inappropriate stuff. No, I want it. No matter what they offer me, pretty much I want it.
Right.
I want to do that. So, yeah, I think just being confident in yourself, and then obviously my parents' guidance too.
Yeah, and you know, being aware of who you are.
Right.
Because I see a lot of people. I mean. I see a lot of people who do the same thing. Like a Nick, you know, it's funny, you get the parallel of Nate Diaz and Sage all the time. They did that meme where they put Sage's after fight interview over Nate Diaz talking and then vice versa. And I mean, I can really respect the way you understand who you are and what you're about and that you stay on that track. And it's the same for a guy like Nate Diaz. Like I've known those guys for a long time and they're real. They're you know, they know what they're about, the things that are important to them, and there's a lot of similarities, but I call it kind of like the parallel universe of mixed martial arts. You have like a Sage Northcutt that comes from the family he comes from and you know, grew up traveling the world as an athlete and people, you know, making sure that he's got the right ingredients for being a tip-top athlete. And then you've got Nick and Nate Diaz, who started from a young age having to survive in the Stockton arenas of the schoolyard and growing up and kind of ended up in the same profession. And it's cool to see two people that are really all about what they're about and having a lot of success, but just so different, you know?
Right.
And I think there's like, people get a kick out of that. You know, you see it all the time. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's two totally different worlds and you end up in relatively same place, but with two different sets of interests, which is not bad.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of guys who try to do things that they're not. Like Conor McGregor, he is really who he's putting off to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's loud. I've talked to him on camera. I've talked to him off camera. I've talked to Sage on camera, off camera. Nate Diaz on camera, off camera. I mean, it's always the same and it's consistent. It's like who you are, which I think is great. It's the guys that are trying to do stuff that isn't them that never works and doesn't like resonate with people and stuff like that. So I love seeing, because I'm buddies with Sage obviously and helping coach him, and you know, I've known Nate and Nick for a long time, and it's so funny to me to see the parallels. If you guys haven't seen the some of the memes of these guys together, it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, they're hilarious. And the one where it was the meme I saw of you asking Nate nicely for
yeah,
a fight.
That's so funny.
It was like, Mr. Diaz, I'd love to have the opportunity to fight you if you please.
So just awesome. To be clear, that was not a real quote. That was somebody made that up, obviously. Right?
Right.
Can you confirm or deny that?
Maybe no, you're right. Okay. It was pretty funny.
You've heard it here officially.
Yeah, people thought it was real, that because Nate said, "Hey, take a back seat. You guys better ask polite, motherfuckers." and then it had Sage with his polite, "Hey, Mr. Nate, I would love to join the octagon with you if you would be obliged. If not, no big deal, and have a Merry Christmas."
Super like funny. The nicest ever. Yeah, I love it.
That's funny.
So, Sage, you have some aspirations to do movies and stuff, right? You've done some acting and modeling and all sorts of stuff as an athlete growing up, as an individual. What are some of those goals about? Is that something you really want, or is it just if it happens, or are you going to be pretty mindful about it? What are you thinking?
No, absolutely. Definitely want to.
Yeah.
I think I've done over 20 commercials. I did a Netflix pilot, a little piece of it. So hopefully we're going to see how that goes. Hopefully that's getting like in the works right now. But yeah, I definitely like to do movies. I know the movie coming out with Creed 2, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Playing Ivan Drago's son, so.
There's been a lot of memes with that
also. There has been.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few of them. I feel like you fit that part perfectly, so.
Thanks. I got to see Sage do a little bit with a Russian accent. He did a good job. We've got a guy named Mikhail Venikov on our team who's actually Russian military, military guy from the U.S., but Russian background. And he said Sage did a good job, too, with his Russian accent. So I can see Drago here.
He was really cool. You've done a lot of movies, too. I haven't done a lot.
I also, growing up, I used to do commercials before I was an athlete. I had done, you know, maybe 10 different commercials, you know, around Sacramento, some for radio stations, and, I mean, all sorts of little stuff. But recently was in a movie that's going to be released in 2018 with The Rock and Joe Manganiello and quite a few other guys, but I've got a tiny little part. But it was awesome.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah, it was $130 million budget, and of course I'm a tiny little part of it. I have a mohawk and neck tattoos and whatnot, but it was cool to see that bigger picture of like a big budget film and be a part of it for you know 11 days or whatever. But I could see Sage, you know, killing the game. Maybe do a little martial arts franchise or something.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like that's a huge leg up getting into the movie business too. Whether or not you end up typecasting that direction, like a Jackie Chan, you know, who pretty much does only fighting movies, it's still, I feel like, a way to really differentiate yourself from just a normal Hollywood actor that's, you know, maybe they're pretty like you, but they don't have, you know, that athleticism, they don't have that skill, and they can't do, you know, that type of stuff in the first place. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, being unique, absolutely.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, a lot of that is just manifesting the ability to say this is what I want to do. From the very beginning as a fighter for me also, being able to voice things like that has been a big part of my success. Not being afraid to say, "Hey, I'm gonna be a fighter. I'm gonna be the best in the world. I'm gonna go into the movie industry and I'm gonna get on some big films and make a career out of it." You have to really be able to voice it, then attack it, and then believe in the process. And I think it's the same for business. You know, I've heard you, Greg, a bunch of different times talk about this amount of cash that we're gonna bring in. Trifecta is can be sold for hundreds of million dollars, or this company could do this, and you have to envision it, talk about it, and in a lot of senses manifest it before things happen. And people are scared to do that sometimes. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're scared to do it. And I mean, with business especially, if you're the person leading the business, you have to kind of set the vision for everybody else, because otherwise people are going to come in, they're going to do their jobs, you know, whatever it is, but you're the one saying, "Hey, here's the next goal that we're marching towards." And someone like Sage does that for himself individually, but you know, when you're running a business, you're doing that for a whole group of people, and it's really important to kind of continuously communicate that vision, because otherwise people aren't able to visualize it themselves. You know, like I talked to you about it, I talked to a lot of our athletes about it, you know, partners, etc., because I want them to know the direction that we're going with it, so that they're able to, you know, to really see the vision like I'm able to see it. And you know, some people are phenomenally good at it, like Steve Jobs was amazing with it. Obviously Elon Musk is everywhere in the news right now because he's like, "Hey, we have this vision to..."
You know Elon Musk?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he does like Tesla and SpaceX.
Yes,
and
that's what I thought.
Exactly, and he, you know, Iron Man was based on him essentially.
That's so
but,
cool, huh?
You know, I'm sure he was thrilled about that. But he's done such a good job with the vision portion that like regular people follow the company vision now, because you know I follow the SpaceX launches. I see the new Tesla Roadster that's going to be the fastest production
car
of all time. And you know, I follow the vision. I'm not, you know, I don't even work for the company. Like he's done such a good job of like laying that out that, you know, it's really something that as a leader of an organization, whether it's just you yourself or if you've got, you know, hundreds of employees, it's super important for you to, you know, to really communicate that vision. So
yeah, and keep the energy. And I mean, Sage has seen it being a part of our team. You know, we talk about that visualization, about believing that you can, about, you know, putting in those small goals to have that bigger goal happen and things like that. And I think, you know, as a leader of a team also, you need to let guys know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm somebody that has learned from my own mistakes before. I'm not thinking big enough. And I don't know if I've talked to you about this, Sage, or not, but there was me writing down my goals in high school and then me writing down my goals in college and me realizing that I was afraid to put world champ or national champ or number one. I wanted to be an All-American, which is pretty prestigious, which is something that, that not many people can do. But why didn't I ever write down, hey, I want to be a champ. I want to be the national champion, or I want to go to the Olympics as a wrestler, because I was working hard. I was doing things. And I think it's important that for me as a leader of a team, that's the most important thing that these guys see, is that you can do these things. You have to be thinking big, and then you have to be consistent along the way. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And something I'll actually compliment you on, because I see it behind the scenes a lot, is as a leader, when you're like setting that vision out for the whole organization or, you know, team, like in the Team Alpha Male situation, you're also like sitting down and focusing with each individual fighter, whether they're, you know, a young guy who's been with you for years, or, you know, someone like Sage who's on the national stage, and you're like working on their individual vision too. You know, behind the scenes, you know, you're talking to the UFC, you're texting Dana, you're advocating for them with brands, you're, you know, just because they're on the, you know, the Alpha Male team. And that's something that, you know, as a leader, I mean, that's why people refer to you as the, you know, the general now. It's because you're kind of, you know, looking after the...
Fabio Prado started that, but yeah.
You know, you're looking after the troops at the same time as, you know, setting the, you know, the goal for the army. And that's something that, you know, I definitely want to compliment you on, because I see it, you know, behind the scenes. But it's something that you have to, like, focus on as you're kind of running an organization, which, you know, a lot of people are trying to do.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Like, if you want to look up to someone to follow, it's definitely Mr. Favor.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, definitely.
This guy is so nice.
No, I'm serious, though.
No, it's cool, man. It's been awesome. I talked about just recently on an interview, I was talking about, Ara Hawani had asked me about my relationship with Sage and everything, and it's been awesome having him in here. It was crazy because I went through when he first got down to Sacramento, and we kind of watched some of his old fights, and I was asking who, you know, this person was in his corner and who that person was in his corner. And it was like finding a right fit for him was pretty hard for whatever reason, you know, because he gets along with everyone. But just the team camaraderie and the energy and the feeling of bringing each other up was I think, a good fit for Sage.
Yes, sir.
And he brings some real cool energy to the table where, you know, that stuff's, you know, catches on. Good energy is contagious. If somebody's in there and guys are up, you know, that feeds the guy next to him. And so it's been a perfect fit for him with already kind of a set mentality. And I'm excited for the future with him for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, the other thing that you do that I think is going to be, if it probably already is, super contagious, but I, you know, definitely want to compliment you on, is the humbleness factor. Like, as a brand, that's something that's like so attractive to, you know, brands for athletes that are trying to get sponsored, because there's, you know, there's a lot of athletes we've dealt with, whether they're NFL or NBA or UFC or CrossFit or whatever it is, that, you know, they'll get a bit of an ego on them after they've got their first several hundred thousand followers or whatever it is. And it's difficult to, you know, deal with them when you're not maintaining that, you know, that humble factor, because you're doing what's best for them type thing. But at the same time, you want them to be working with you as a partner. And, you know, people that are humble and get that are way more attractive to brands. And, you know, we're willing to put way more effort into that particular athlete because we know that they're doing what's best for people, and they are, you know, thinking about it from that standpoint. So
thank you very much.
Yeah,
really appreciate that.
So Sage, when you look at your life, I know, and I'm somebody that has like just kind of been going, and I'm getting a little bit better at visualizing the future and thinking about things on a bigger level. Do you have like a vision of a life plan for yourself? Like, do you want to have kids and a family? Do you want to fight for a little bit of time and then do movies? Do you want to have? I mean, do you have a pretty set out thing, or are you just kind of living in the moment and taking it day by day? Like, what's kind of your vision for your life as in a bigger picture?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm only 21, so
yeah,
I'm learning as I go. But yeah, obviously, like, I set goals, I have a vision for my life, like you said.
Yeah.
And of course, I want to have a family with kids in the future. But
yeah,
right now, I'm focused on the goals that I have right now, from fighting for the UFC, being the UFC world champion, making movies, training with you,
and having a good time.
All the opportunities are going to open up. It's amazing. So definitely, I think every single day that goes by, it's like it keeps getting better and better and better, and so much to look forward to.
And I talked to your dad on occasion, and he was talking about possibly moving to Cali from Texas.
Yes, sir.
Is that something that's going to happen?
I think so.
Are you ready for that? I mean, is that
That'd be so cool.
And your sister, she's actually in Southern California.
Yes,
right now.
She's in Los Angeles.
Okay, so
that's where the headquarters are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The center over there.
She has to check it out.
Yeah. So all our cooking and shipping and everything happens in LA.
I definitely want to check it out too.
Yeah, we do marketing, customer service, all that stuff up here. So yeah.
So really right now, out of the Northcutt family, it's you. Your brother, who's
18,
and he was just down here chatting with us as well. Actually, Sage is the runt of the family.
Really?
Sister's taller. My brother's taller.
Yeah,
I'm still growing.
He's still growing. But your brother's out in Texas. Your mom and dad are out in Texas. So it's right now you and your sister. And it sounds like the Northcutts are going to be making a move to Cali. Hopefully,
I think so. I can see it in the future. That'd be so cool.
All right. Well, your really kids fun. Will be California kids. They won't be Texas kids, so that'll be cool.
The California kid right here.
That's it. Yeah. There's a lot of us. You grew up in Cali?
Yeah. Grew up in Cali. I was actually born in France, though. That's a fun fact.
Really?
For you. Yeah.
That's cool.
My parents did. They worked overseas for about a year and a half, so they've happened to live in France when I was born. So I'm still American citizen. For bunch of generations.
You sure we're gonna have to check that out? Can we get the facts checked on that, please? Greg Conley,
whip out the passport.
International spy from France.
The cool part would be if I could actually speak French from it, but I can't speak any French.
Oh man,
so, yeah,
that would have been cool.
Yeah, I came back when I was only 3 months old, so
that's awesome.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So not to keep Sage. I know Sage just needs to get going back to training and working towards that path of being a world champ.
Yes, sir.
Which we can appreciate. And Greg, you have to go make some money.
Always on the grind.
Make some cash and fire some people. No. Or hire some people.
Hire. We're hire hiring
some,
right
we're
now.
We're hiring. We're not firing. So, and me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do something. Hopefully in the sun somewhere. I'll try to have the least amount of clothes as possible on us. But thanks for joining us, guys. Sage, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thank you so much.
We appreciate it. And looking forward to seeing how the Sage Northcutt vision plays out, whether it's,
yes, sir,
with the belt, doing movies, becoming a businessman, and taking over the business world yourself. But excited to watch. So we're taking a small glimpse into his life, and we'll have him back on as he climbs the 20s from 21 – into becoming a 30-year-old plus man.
Oh, like, there you go.
Nice, I love it.
Pretty cool.
Join the old man's club like us.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thanks again, guys. Thanks for joining and watch the Cali Cast. We're coming with some heat.